from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Hell, let's go around the locker room here. We got a triple threat for you here. We're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans after today's practice. Juice Scruggs, who, as you know, I've been pretty high on. We'll see how that plays out. And Azeez Alshire with some very informative and entertaining stuff. Let's go to D'Amico first.
But all of our guys who it's their first year here in Houston, I want them to witness and see, you know, what H-Town atmosphere is like. So I'm excited to get back into our stadium. It'll be fun.
You're known for having very, like, creative list packages, really creative with your designs, especially on third downs. Obviously, you know, you try to taper it back off. What's kind of like that balance from, like, not showing too much so teams can game plan on you, but still wanting to get some good or quality reps while out there on the field?
Everything for me about the preseason is getting our guys better. So I'm, you know, whatever guys show in the preseason, we'll have some things we show, some things we don't. But to me, what we've seen, guys can look back and see what we've done on tape. So it's not that big a deal. I want to see our guys execute at a high level. I'm really not scared of showing things and the opponent seeing what we run. At the end of the day, it's about our team, you know, improving and getting better with what we ask them to do and being able to do it. I think in live game situations, that's where it counts most, and that's where you have to see what can guys truly handle, right, when the lights are on. So I'm not opposed to running whatever we need to run to make sure we see what we need to see from our guys. And preseason is a lot about evaluating guys. So, you know, you put guys in situations to see, you know, what can they handle, and that's what it's all about.
Has been pretty productive as a rusher in his career. What about him as a pass blocker has impressed you thus far?
Joe, he's solid all around back, right? When it comes to blocking, catching, right, running the football, Joe is just all around. He's a strong physical player that allows him to do really well in pass protection. You can ask a lot of him in pass protection. You think he matches up well versus any blitzers, whether it's linebackers or secondary defenders. He does a good job of matching up and staying attached in the passing game, and that's what you like, just giving the quarterback just a little more time, right, to make plays, and Joe will be capable of doing that for us.
Matthew Judon. Now, obviously, he's elsewhere, but is edge rusher a position that you all might still look to continue to address given the injuries that you all have there and D'Amico going to be out a little bit of time?
Good football players is what I'm looking for. At whatever the position is, any good football players that can help us, that's what we're looking to continue to add to our team and be as good as possible. For myself and Nick, is something that we continue to evaluate, right? Our team is never set. So whatever players, right, come up or available, whatever it is, we look into all those situations to see how can we improve our team. That's our job, to improve our team and put the best team together for the Texans, and that's what it's all about.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, so there's D'Amico Ryans right there. Good football players?
Well, yeah.
Maybe they're still looking. Interesting practice today because in the stadium, first time, as you heard him say there, with some young players in there. Now, two players that have been there One of them I like a lot. I'm really interested in this from Juice Scruggs, and then we'll hear from Aziz Al-Shaair, who is new as a Houston Texan.
In energy, playing in front of the fans, first game since last season, game situation. What do you think it'll mean for you guys?
Definitely excited to get out there in front of the fans. I know they're excited to see us. Definitely always good, though, to be in NRG and come out and showcase our talent.
How good did it feel just to have all five of you guys back together again?
Yeah, it definitely felt good. Definitely getting that chemistry down. It's going to be big for us going into the season. But, yeah, just for us to finally be on the same field and be healthy was a good feeling for sure.
You have all five of you guys together. How long does it usually take for you guys to gel and get where you need to be?
Really, it could take anywhere from a couple days or to a week. Like, it just depends on, like, how many reps we get and how long we're out there. But, really, like, the more we're out there, the better. So, if we can all be out there as much as possible, that'd be great for sure.
All back together, but also getting Joe in the backfield. What is it like to now kind of have a good understanding and an identity about what that backfield's going to be like?
Oh, yeah, excited for sure. Just what Joe and DP and Dare just decided what they could do, and the young guys like Jaws just decided to see what they could do. You know, I know they're playmakers, and we just got to give them holes to run into.
Just having Laramie back enhanced the offensive line.
Oh, big. My opinion, the best left tackle in the game. So when you got a guy like that, out there, it's easy, you know, for the rest of us to do what we do because we can feed off his energy. And he doesn't talk much, but he's loud. Like, he's a loud personality. So definitely having him back in the lineup is, like, it's a blessing for sure.
What's your comfort level now making a line call? I mean, you know, you started, got back in, got hurt, but now you're back in again. What do you feel like you are as far as getting it down and making a line call week to week?
Yeah, definitely a lot better than last year. Definitely it was a lot flying last year, rookie year. But it's slowing down a lot more this year. And I'll definitely say I'm not where I need to be, but definitely in the right step forward for sure.
How much have you seen from rookie Blake Fisher? It's not too many times a rookie gets thrown in the fire like that to go up against Will and Daniil in practice like that every day.
Definitely he came in prepared for sure. He came in with that same mindset I had last year, next man up. So he definitely came in ready. And I told him going against them too is just going to make him that much better of a player.
To keep his confidence level up when he loses a rep. And for somebody who went through this last year where you were a rookie, is that an important part of just establishing yourself inside the locker room?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I told him this, too. Like, when you lose a rep, like, there's no need for you to lose your confidence because, like, you're going against the best of the best, especially with, like, Daniil, who's been doing this almost a decade now, and then you got Will, who showed how good he was last year. So just going against those guys, like, don't get your confidence down. Just know you're going against some of the best guys in the league.
We talked about this earlier in training camp, but now that you and Kenyon have had two games, you know, under your belt now, what has that continuity been like? It looks like you two are moving as one.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just us being on the same page. And for me and him to be like that, it just shows that we're taking the right step forward. But all five of us got to be on the same page like that. And once we do that, the sky's the limit.
Can you talk about Shaq Mason and what you learned getting to play with him?
Oh, yeah. Shaq is a vet for sure. And I said this last time I was talking to you guys. He's just very underrated. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. And for him to have him next to me is like such a big part. And he helps me out a lot too because he's seen everything you could see, like playing this long in the league. So he's seen all the defenses, all the pressures, and he just knows like what to do and where to be.
When do you start taking a peek to DeForest Buckner in week one?
When week one comes, yeah.
You're midway through training camp at this point. What's one area that you still want to maybe hone in on a little bit more before week comes?
Definitely, you can never have too much communication. I feel like I've definitely got a lot better, like I said, from last year. But it's definitely more steps I could take, and that's really what I've been focusing on this whole training camp.
Couple more. All good?
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
All right, good stuff there. Like, he was talking about what we were talking about. First time ever that all five of these guys have been together, so that's real good. I know you're going to like hearing from the quarterback of the defense, as people like to say. He's been fantastic all preseason. Going to get a good look at him on Saturday afternoon, Azeez Al-Shaair.
When it comes to preseason games, how many snaps or plays or series is important for you to get ready for the regular season?
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like different. It's been different for me at least every year. I think my rookie year was the one time I played obviously every single game. And then the next year was COVID. And the following year, I didn't play any preseason. And my fourth year, I didn't play any preseason either. So I think it's just kind of like a feel thing. Like, it's always good to get out there when you get out there with the guys. Like, last week, got out there, had about 9-10 plays or whatever, and, you know, show some good stuff, just communicating, make sure we're all on the same page, getting to tackle somebody, and D'Amico not yell at you, telling you to protect the team. So, I mean, it's just kind of whatever for me, honestly. It's football, so go out there and do our job and try to execute at a high level regardless of the situation. So.
Is that what's important, just kind of reminding yourself you can do it, get hit, make a hit, get up?
100%.
Like, all right, I'm good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta go through it, because there's nothing that, like, no training, nothing you can prepare for that's, you know, tackling in football. Like, you got to play football to be good at football. So I think it's always something that you just got to invite what it is. You know, obviously it's preseason, it doesn't count, whatever you want to say. But anytime you go out there and they got cameras watching, it counts to me. So, you know, I try to show up, and everybody on our team shows up and brings their best. So,
Azeez, what have you seen from Henry? Not to play him last year, you're new, but what have you seen from him since you've joined the team?
Oh, man, Henry. Like, I talked to him when I first got here, him, Christian Harris as well. You know, like, just being young guys, trying to figure your way out. Like, the first couple times talking to him, you can tell they didn't really have too much confidence. They're like, man, yeah, I tried a little bit. I was, you know, I thought I was doing good a little bit. But it's like letting them know, like, bro, you put some really good stuff on tape, you know, and just knowing what it was like having to be in this scheme as a rookie, you know, for him last year, and seeing some of the plays he was able to make. Like, he made some really good plays. Like, and so I think, for me, now being around him, it's just more so like validating what he did that was good, showing him the things that I know that I've learned over the last 4 or 5 years of playing this scheme. And I think from where he was from the first day of OTAs to where he is right now is just like grown so much. And it's really exciting for me, and I'm sure this entire team, to see just the growth that he's been having in the last couple months or so.
You're really big on lead by example. He said the other day that he watches you so much all the way down to the way you eat. What does that mean to you to have to be able to give back to those younger players like that?
Man, it's just like, at the end of the day, the game is going to pass you by one way or another. If I play 15 years and you're 16, I'm not going to be playing no more. So I think my whole life, that's just kind of like the type of person I always tried to be and give back to people and do for others what I would want somebody to do for me. So, I had great guys who helped me when I was a young player, Malcolm Smith, Quan Alexander. And, so I think it just was the right thing. It's just what you're supposed to do. You come in and you're expected to lead and expected to show guys the way, and you got to show them what you know. You got to be doing things the right way, because I could show them things. You got guys who can make it in this league for a good amount of years, but if they don't have the right habits, eventually it'll catch up to you. So my biggest thing is just doing the right thing, showing them how it's done. So you just realize that the success is not luck, especially, you know, when you're undrafted. You don't get lucky and just end up, you know, getting paid a lot of money. So.
You crossed 150 tackles last season. Do you have any kind of tackle goal for this year? Any kind of statistical things you're eyeing?
Yeah, I mean, every year you kind of have your own, like, goals and visions and things that you want to accomplish. I give them to myself. It's just kind of something I look at every day on my own. But 100%, I think going into a year as a team, you always have a goal. Like, they say, oh, you guys are supposed to go to the Super Bowl. Like, everybody, I'm hoping, in the NFL has a aspiration of going to the Super Bowl in February. But you just got to work every single day. So that's what I'm just trying to do for my personal goals, and then also us as a team. You know, just showing up every day and then being intentional about what we're doing.
What is, you know, for, because, you know, that's in the media. Sometimes we see the linebacker that has a lot of tackles. Sometimes we think that's really good. But it's not, it couldn't be as good. What's kind of the balance between a guy that's getting a lot of impactful tackles versus a guy just getting tackles?
Oh, well, you know, there's some good and some bad about PFF. Just say it like that. But the thing that you can take from it with so much analytics that we have now is that it'll tell you where these tackles are happening. If they're happening 15 yards down the field, and it's probably not too good. So, you know, you talk about whatever. Last year I had 109 tackles that were all within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. So I think when you talk about impactful, closer around the line of scrimmage usually is better than not. So, you know, I think obviously swarming to the ball, I'm going to get to the ball regardless of where the ball is, and that's just our mindset as a defense. But individually, I guess you can definitely get lost in translation of, you know, how the tackle was made. You got 15 tackles, and I remember Johnny Holland used to tell us, nobody looks and sees how many, like, how'd you get each tackle? They just want to see how many tackles you had. So he just tells us, if you run to that ball, you end up on the pile and three different tackles, just three more to the stat sheet. So it works both ways, for sure.
Talking about your leadership style and, you know, how other people have taken to it, but how did that style develop? How do you feel like it developed it, and how do you balance, you know, dealing with people with different personalities?
Yeah, I think it's crazy, but, like, I think God just kind of put everything that happened throughout my entire life, like, allowed it to develop to me being the person I am. You know, I grew up struggling, you know, bouncing around from place to place. I went to a new school every year until I got to high school. That was the first time that I stayed at the same school for more than 1 year. So I had to deal with a new personality, new teachers, new students every single year. And I think it wasn't until I got to college where I realized, you know, everybody is dealing with something different. You know, back in middle school and elementary, I was just like kind of sheltered a little bit because I just was, you know, thinking I was the only one in the world going through something tough. And then you realize we all got a million different stories and a million different things that we experience in life, and nobody's story is the same. So I just think I got comfortable with who I was, but then acknowledged that where I had my own, you know, shortcomings and feelings and all these different emotions, so does the guy right next to me. So he might be faking it just like I used to fake it when I was a kid, but he's going through a lot more stuff than you could think. So I think it's just realizing we all human, having compassion for somebody next to you, and just actually trying to get to know the person, not the football player. So then when we're on the field and I might yell at you because you're in the wrong spot or, you know, whatever might happen on the field, just things getting heated, you don't take it personal because you know it's coming from a place of love and not just arrogance. So
can you talk about your relationship and how it's grown over the years with Nico? I mean, he obviously respects you tremendously as a football player and man, but just that relationship and how it's where it is now.
Oh, yeah, man. It's so funny because just like, from the time that first met him to now, he's been the same person. And it's so funny because you talk to people who've known him when he was a player, they all say, oh, he's the same guy, same guy. So I think the thing that's just coolest about it is just he's been consistently the same type of person throughout really his whole life, you know, since he's been an adult from what I've known. And then you talk about me and his relationship, is just like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows we've been able to go through together. I mean, many times he done yelled at me, cussed me out, I done cussed him back out. You know, a lot of back and forth when I was a young player. And it was really just genuinely like him trying to get me to understand the sense of urgency that you got to have in this league, because as you know, it's year to year, game to game, and everybody's livelihood. I mean, you guys get one more extra week to report when we win a playoff game and then go to the next week. So it's like, there's so many people that are involved in a game. And you think as a young player, I'll be around for a while. Oh, you got time. I went to the Super Bowl as a rookie and I have never been back. And if you would have told me that when I was a rookie, I would have laughed at you, said you were fooling, but literally never been back, you know? So I think just understanding like that sense of urgency and that mentality that you got to have. But then he also showed me the love and the care by just being there, you know, and being a somebody I can look up to as a male figure. But then also just chopping it up with me off the field and, you know, laughing, kikiing. You know, obviously I know his wife and his kids really well as well. So it's just a really good relationship. And I'm grateful for it, for sure.
Super Bowl team that you were on and then the teams that followed, and then in Tennessee, does it give you a good sense of the type of team you have here?
Yes and no. I think every year, you know, you come into it, everybody comes into it with these high expectations, and, you know, everybody, like I said earlier, everybody has the goal of, you know, I'm assuming, I would hope, that everybody has the goal of getting to the Super Bowl in February. But when you really start grinding throughout camp and, you know, OTAs, all this stuff, and then the season starts and you get tested a little bit, and it just, you really get to see how everybody really meshes together. And obviously, you know, right now I could say, yeah, man, it feels great. It's great because we're working really hard. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't been too many really tests come at all other than us going at it with each other, and it's been good competition. But it'd be so early to tell you, oh man, yeah, Super Bowl run, no question. Like,
you're going to like you some Aziz Alshire. You're going to definitely like you some of that cat. All right, internet's going nuts. Stuff going on at ESPN. We got all kinds of stuff happening that has the internet going nuts. And, we might even hear a rookie wide receiver sing really, really badly. That's on the internet going nuts next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I got the internet going nuts.
Hey. Internet's going to be going nuts on Monday, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
You ready? You going to be listening, Chris?
Oh, I'll be tapped in. Y'all
yeah.
know.
Yeah, do you know who it is?
No, I have no idea.
Figgy, do you know who it is?
I don't. Nah, I'm just playing. I know who it is. Y'all just got to wait till Monday.
Got to wait till Monday.
I'm super fired up, though, man.
Yeah.
It's been a good week. It's been a pleasure just doing this show like this for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, but yeah.
Man, I'm keeping the seat warm, man.
Yeah.
And Chris keeping the seat warm for me.
Mm-hmm. Nice and warm, man.
Yeah. Be careful in there now. Figgy's got some secret compartments and stuff. All right. So I don't really know what to make of this other than it's the era in which we live. But Sam Ponder and Robert Griffin III got fired, laid off at ESPN today. And part of me is, well, you always, you know, don't want to see that. But the second thing is, like, is ESPN is my go-to for sports. I mean, I check in every day because I put my TV on as I'm doing stuff after the show or before the show, and just so I don't miss anything. But, like, their opinion makers are not quite what they used to be.
I kind of look at ESPN now as background noise.
Yeah.
Like whenever I ain't got nothing to watch.
For me, it's a news feed.
Yeah, whenever I ain't got nothing to watch, I just throw on ESPN and I check in once in a while if they, you know, talk about the Texans or bring up a topic I'm interested in. But like, I honestly I don't know anybody on there where I'm like, yeah, that person good.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the day, remember back in the day, it used to be like that, watching Around the Horn.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to hear what they had to say.
Yeah. I would be tapped in. And I'm like, I got to hear what they got to say. But now it's not really intriguing to me now.
No, not at all.
Like I find better opinions on social media.
Yeah.
I got the internet going nuts.
So you brought this up.
Yeah, Matthew Perry. You was a Friends guy, right?
Oh yeah, I was more of a I was a Friends guy later. I was more of a Seinfeld guy, but a huge Friends fan once I got into it.
I'm not really a Friends guy, but my wife is.
Every time I even say the word Friends, I think of the theme song.
Over there for you.
Like I just cannot not think. So go ahead.
Yeah, so apparently it's been a big update in his death.
Mm-hmm.
So a few people were arrested.
Arrested. Multiple people.
Yeah, multiple people. And TMZ kind of got the report, and they, a lot of doctors, drugs, all that stuff kind of involved. And I didn't know it was this deep.
I thought it was just unfortunate.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, if your mind wanders, like he was a guy that just maybe overdid it and lived a life and died young. But now I think what's going to happen is like they're saying like he was prescribed medication that he shouldn't have been or too much of it or something like that.
Yeah. So it's been multiple arrests, including one doctor, according to TMZ. And it's a lot of search warrants, computers being taken and stuff like that. So it's not looking good. And I hate this, especially for his family, because, you know, it already sucked that
they're already suffering from it.
Now to know that somebody was responsible for this, and you kind of reliving all of this again, man, it's not a good look.
I get terrified of like being over prescribed medication. We all know people in our lives. I'm sure you do. Chris does. A lot of our listeners that, you know, they're like on this and then they're on this too and then they're on this too and it makes them feel better. Every time that happens, I'm like, man, that's a slippery slope, as people like to say.
I'm not a big medication guy, man. Like I would do it if I have no other choice.
Yes.
But some people just be like, hey, can you get, like, I'm scared to take Oxycontin and all.
Oh, hell no.
Stuff like I mentioned earlier this week, I never had a big injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had to take anything like that. But I'm scared to just get on that stuff and get addicted, man.
And
because
it's everywhere.
People do. Yeah.
Don't you have people in your family that are on all kinds of whatevers?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I had people very close to me that was struggling with that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't really know that was an addiction because when you hear addiction, you think of actual like
street drugs.
Like crack. Crack or alcohol or something like that. But people get addicted to pain medication.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
It's all over the world.
Yeah.
It just stinks, and this thing's gonna last for a long time. This is gonna go on. All right, so we all are familiar with obviously with Hard Knocks, but with rookies having to do their talent shows for the veterans and all that. Some of them are very funny, some are very good. You know, I've seen some where guys can really, whether they're doing a skit or singing or whatever, where it's really, really funny. I was actually trying to avoid playing this because it was so cringeworthy. I saw it, I think, day before yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just uncomfortable. This is so bad. And then this morning I told you, I was like, you know what? Let's just play it. Like, let's just play it. It is that bad.
That kiss, in a mind, she fantasized about getting with me. They hating on me. They want to diss. Cause she mine is so fine, can be. I'm a country boy from Tappahannock. VA is where I reside. So sorry, you understand and see this bandana hanging. That means I'm like a bandit, like a bandit. And you
all right, all right.
Oh, man.
That's Roma Dunze. rookie with the Bears.
Oh, I wish I was in that room. Yeah. I would have been singing.
You a Chris Brown guy? You like Chris Brown?
A couple songs. Little Kiss. The old Chris Brown, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But like the new.
He actually kind of brought it in a little bit better at the end there. But yeah, that was.
But I kind of like that these teams do this. Like,
oh yeah, it's
talent
fun
shows at the end before the season start and all that. So I kind of like that.
No,
I think every team need to put that footage out there.
Oh yeah. All right. Hey, don't forget this segment. You're gonna be we're gonna give a listener 2 tickets to the Texans game against the New York Giants.
Look, people trying to call already.
Oh,
y'all
don't want squatters.
Offsides.
No squatters.
Offsides.
No squatters.
No more Laramie Tunsils.
I will tell you when, and I'm actually gonna pause a little bit. Do a little later number, so all the people listening online, because it's a little bit of a delay, will have the same chance. So we'll be doing that this segment. We were talking about this earlier, and I just trying to put myself in the shoes of a Chiefs fan, okay? I don't like Patrick Mahomes, but Andy Reid announced today that Patrick Mahomes and the entire offense is going to play the entire half of the preseason game this weekend. I don't know. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either, especially after coming off of a Super Bowl win, man. Like, nothing really changed, man. You don't have any big changes.
And it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this is not a new playbook or a new offensive coordinator where you got to get some things going. And even if that was the case, all you need is like a quarter.
Yeah.
You don't need to play a whole half.
I don't know if he needs to play any, but if you want to play a quarter, fine. All I'm saying is he's gone 6-7 games in the regular season struggling or trying to get his feet under him and then still win a Super Bowl.
They got
to
be lying, man. I think that's cap.
Maybe. We can do cap or no cap again.
I would be shocked if they take it into the first halftime.
Yeah.
And he running off the field with the helmet on, just finished playing. I would be shocked.
I don't get it.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, so this is just like funny. I was going to put this around the NFL, but we heard from D'Amico Ryans and the other fellas. So the Brandon Ayuk thing is still going on. It's still going on. And my opinion on that is I've lost interest.
Me too.
I've lost interest.
Not only did I lose interest, I kind of don't even care for the guy no more now.
Yeah.
I'm like, dog, what is you doing, man? Exactly. Like, if you don't pick a team, like, what is this?
They
is
say
this
he has a decision? Deal. There's apparently a deal in place with both teams. First of all, how the hell does that happen?
It never should have got that way, man.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that show you, like, dog, if you don't pick a team and come on, man, like, what are you doing? You better ball out this year.
Yeah.
Wherever you at.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to get crushed.
So, basically, what's going on is, hey, I got a deal for a trade to the Steelers, but I also got a deal with the Niners, and I got to make a decision here, or they got to make a decision here. Never mind. We're going to trade him. Oh, you know what? Second thought, we are going to keep you. What's going on?
Yeah, it got so bad to the point the 49ers was like, you know what? Hey, we thought you was gone, but hey, let's see if I got a little extra cash I could give you to stick around then. It's taking that long where the 49ers having third and fourth thoughts. Like, they probably thought he was gone, long gone. Now they're like, hey, I thought about it for a couple weeks now. Let's see if we could keep you. I'm like, dog, you need to make a decision, man.
Yeah. I know this is a lot more work for you, Chris, but I want to give everyone listening online on the Odyssey app, on YouTube, the same chance to win 2 tickets. Caller number Kamari Lassiter. Caller number 14. Caller number 14 right now. You're going to have a chance to win 2 tickets to the Texans and Giants on Saturday at noon.
From the 281, what's the number to call in for the tickets? The same number you text in.
Yep. The one you just texted.
Yep, just call that number.
The one you just texted. All right, so the Vikings need a quarterback. The Texans have a quarterback that left practice early, however you want to interpret that. Vikings trade with the Texans, would you? And another trade that I know Figgy would not. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, let's go here, Figgy. As we get ready, who was the winner of the Texans tickets?
Myron Moten.
Congrats,
Myron.
Man. How about that little surprise? Gave away tickets twice, and we're gonna do it again on Tuesday. Yeah. We'll do it again on Tuesday with Texans ticket Tuesday. So, all right. So, I was a little surprised that more people aren't in with this. Maybe not. I mean, there were a lot of people that were, but. The Vikings need a quarterback after J.J. McCarthy got injured. He's done for the year. Meniscus tear and surgery. They already reportedly have or are talking with the Indianapolis Colts about Sam Ehlinger. And I'm like, Sam Ehlinger? I mean, okay.
I'm surprised he's still in the league.
Yeah, yeah. But either way, the Texans have four quarterbacks. Now, someone like Tim Boyle's going to just end up on the street eventually, so you can wait him out. But if you're the Minnesota Vikings and you want to be competitive in a really tough division and you don't believe in Sam Darnold, which I don't believe they will, they do, I think why not kick the tires with Davis Mills? I think a lot of people get that. It's just a matter of would you do it, you know, because he is your, quote, backup quarterback. And I say quote because Sean Pendergast and I were talking about this with you earlier, and he's like, well, he's your backup quarterback. He's having a very good training camp. I think we can nitpick a little bit on that. I don't think he's having a bad training camp, but he is Davis Mills. He makes mistakes. And just when you think, okay, he's looking pretty good, boom, there's a ball that should have been a pick six or a ball over somebody's head or whatever it may be. So I'll argue that he's having that good a training camp. It's okay. It's aight, as the kids like to say. But if they're going to give you a fifth-round pick, a fourth-round pick, why not?
Yeah, I would do it. Like I said, I'm not going around shopping Davis Mills. Mm-hmm. I think that would be silly if they was just
going around trying to
shop a backup quarterback. But I do think people are knocking on the Texans' door asking, you know, what's up with Davis Mills? Like, how much – what y'all talking?
Yeah.
And at that point, I would listen. I would listen. Like, at the end of the day, he's a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think they can probably, you know, to me, I'm a little nervous at just putting Keenum right there at number two and be like, nah, we good, and then roll with Tim Boyle number three. But I would be totally fine with just if somebody – I'd be fine if Davis Mills wanted to go elsewhere.
And it might be coming from him, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. He know he ain't about to start here. And you see how it went last year where they pretty much skipped over him for a game or two games. And look, if he want to go, I'm like, all right, cool. You know, we appreciate you. And he been a good teammate.
Yeah.
He been a great teammate. And see what I could get for him.
Davis Mills has started in this league. He considers himself a candidate to be a starter in this league. Not here, but a starter in this league. His agent might have said, hey, man, let's get this done. And just as a little anecdote to that, Davis Mills didn't practice Sunday. He didn't take reps yesterday, and he was not taking reps today, and for whatever reason walked off the field. Now, DeMeco Ryans did say nothing to see here, in essence. Everything's good with Davis Mills, but that doesn't mean that these discussions aren't happening. I absolutely would think that. Now, as far as like the Case Keenum thing, I get the counter argument being he's older. You know, I don't know how much, you know, he has left in the tank or all that. You're not asking Case Keenum to play 13 games. You want him to win one or two. If you need to win one or two games, and this is something that I really believe in, even though Davis Mills has taken all the second team reps, they trust Case Keenum more. I think if they have, let's say they're playing the Titans again, and CJ Stroud can't go, he's got whatever. I think they're going to start Case Keenum. Yeah. I think they trust Case Keenum more. So why the hell are you keeping him around if they're going to offer you a fifth round pick or better?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they should look to, I guess, move him if somebody asking about him. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like a nah, let's not get nothing. Or honestly, I know Sean said nothing. I guess minimum day two.
Yeah.
I think that's a stretch right there, man, because I kind of look at it like if I were a part of the Vikings, I'm not. I don't know about trading a day two pick for Davis Mills.
Yeah, like, how good do you think you're going to be?
Yeah, and yeah. honestly, they're going to start with Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Davis Mills is going to come in and just, you know, he's the day one starter.
Yeah,
they definitely need a backup, but I don't think they trust Sam Darnold that well to just give him the whole season like that. So, yeah. I think a fifth round pick is probably, minimum. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not looking. If it's a fourth, I'm sending a limousine, private jet, and all that stuff. But I think a fifth round pick is fair. And if you look at other backup quarterbacks, that's pretty much what they go for: fifth, sixth, seventh.
And the fact that it's a quarterback is key.
It's a
quarterback by a team that's in need and will be a little more desperate.
And it's a quarterback that a team like the Houston Texans necessarily don't need, because you got a franchise quarterback that's probably going to play the whole season. And you can find, I think Mills is replaceable.
Yes.
You could get somebody to replace Mills.
Absolutely. And you could probably do it with the guys you have here. I mean, Tim Boyle, you know, he's going to be your third teamer no matter what, but maybe bring someone else in.
That's a little scary.
And maybe bring someone else in. Or trust Case Keenum.
Yeah.
I mean, just trust Case Keenum.
I think it's other options back there, as somebody that can be a reliable backup.
All right. So this is the one that is not really kind of gaining steam, so to speak, but it is. I think it's an interesting question. While the Vikings need a quarterback, the Chiefs need a receiver. The Chiefs have lost Hollywood Brown. And both you guys said, hell no, when I asked you earlier. Would you trade? You have an abundance of receivers here. You're gonna release some receivers. They're gonna be on the street. Why not get a sixth round pick, seventh round pick
to the Chiefs?
I don't care
though,
that it's the Chiefs.
I still think Mechie got potential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that potential to be unlocked with the Chiefs, and I'm going head to head with the Chiefs. I just can't do that.
Trade him out of the AFC, anywhere else but the Chiefs.
I can't sign up for that.
Like, I get it. It's a six. You said a sixth round pick, maybe.
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. No, I can't. Not the Chiefs, man.
Here's why I don't care. I trust Bobby Slowick a hell of a lot. I trust D'Amico, for that matter. But I trust C.J. Stroud a hell of a lot. They haven't found it yet with John Mechie. I get Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback on the planet, but. And Andy Reid is one of the greatest play callers on the planet. But these two dudes are no chumps, and they haven't figured it out with John Mechie.
Yeah.
Is it
more you feel like Mechie don't have it and it's nothing to worry about?
No,
with Mechie?
I think like you're going to probably end up cutting him. And if the Chiefs are out there saying, hey, we'll give you six, sure. I mean, Nick Casario's notorious for grouping together two or three or four picks and moving up in the draft, maybe get one that can help you there.
Now, if it's a situation where nobody in the whole entire NFL want to offer anything and outside of the Chiefs, then I would be like, you know what? That's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Then I would do it. But if it's other options,
I'll give you that.
If it's other options, if the Chiefs trying to, you know, give up, let's say a six, and maybe
somebody else gives you a sixth.
Yeah. or the Seahawks or the Carolina Panthers give you a seventh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying, oh, you know what? A six is better than a seven. No. Let me just trade them to the Chiefs. Nah, I'll take a seventh. And, like, and anything but the Chiefs. Yeah. Just keep the ball away from the Chiefs. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I get that. Like, okay, err to the side of caution. But all I'm saying is some of these guys are going to be on the street. Yeah. Might as well get something for them.
Yeah, I agree.
They might as well get something for them.
Chiefs,
not the Chiefs, whomever.
I see where you're coming from. I think something is better than nothing.
And frankly, I'd be more worried if they traded somebody like Robert Woods. I'd rather trade Mechie than Woods.
Yeah, see, Robert Woods don't really bother me, man. I think he probably got like, I think he could be good. He would be perfect on a championship team like that.
Yeah.
But I got him playing for maybe one or two more years left.
Yeah.
I don't see him lasting a long time like that.
Yeah, look, I don't like to. You heard me say it 100 times. Don't play scared, man. Have confidence in yourself. Have confidence in what you're doing. You're gonna have to beat Patrick Mahomes anyway. It's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's the problem. That's the issue with Kansas City.
Hey, man, I'm already pissed off the Bills didn't help them out pretty much and traded with them, and they got an explosive receiver.
Exactly.
I ain't trying to help them out no more.
I don't care. I don't want to play scared, and whether you trade him or not, it's still going
to
be Patrick
Mahomes. That ain't worth no six-round pick to me, man.
You're still going to have to trade him. You're just going to have to go through that.
I'll just take that on the chin, man. You know? I'm sorry.
Patrick Mahomes terrifies me.
Yes.
John Mechie does not.
I'm not.
John Mechie does not.
Man.
I'm glad Ron is here. Ron, if you have a couple of connections over in Kansas City.
Oh, word. Word. I ain't noticed. Yes.
You're being real Edward right
now. You're being real Edward?
Damn,
you're
being my real government. Ed.
You're
my
being
government?
Real Ed right now.
How's that?
Well, I know I trade John Mechie to the Colts.
Yeah.
John Mechie don't scare me.
That's what I just said.
John Mechie going to do something, that John Mechie going to be out here watching every day, the John Mechie that had made a play that Cephas has made,
yeah.
The John Mechie that can't get past Skoranek, that John Mechie about to turn into something. Nah, man.
It's that Mahomes picks on
if it's nah.
But see, that's what it is. Like, it don't scare me him going to the Colts. Like that didn't that.
Why not? It should.
I wouldn't be bothered by that. I'm just bothered
you don't
by
think,
the cheese.
You don't think, you know, Richardson's gonna do squat to help him?
Yeah. Look, I know Mahomes is gonna be around for the next 12 years, man.
Like
I know that for a fact.
Listen, Patrick Mahomes and I will, you know, take any argument, which there isn't one, is the best quarterback in the world, and I think Tom Brady is the GOAT for now. But we watched last year, he didn't just turn any receivers into anything.
Yeah.
We watched last year. It wasn't like he.
What's that guy's name? Kadarius something?
Kadarius Tony, Sky Wet or Sky
That's
Moore,
what I'm saying,
who they
Ron.
Who they blew a second round pick on. And he is just like John Mechie, minus the cancer, and he can't get on the field either. Like so John Mechie don't scare me. I'd trade him anywhere.
Yeah.
If you had an offer.
Well, my point is, and it's just a decades long philosophy, just don't play scared, man. You're gonna have to beat Patrick Mahomes anyway, and that's a tall task. So if it's with Mechie on the team, fine. At least you got an extra pick.
I'm about to say, how many receivers you got? How many receivers right now you look at, you think they're in front of John Mechie on this team?
I think 8.
Like, I'm just like no, figure you at least 6 or 7. He's the 8th guy.
Yeah.
I think he having a bad year with the Texans right now. I'm just worried.
Ain't even started.
In the back of my mind, I'm just worried something's going to get unlocked with Mechie, and you're going to figure it out. I think he should go back. I think he should go to Carolina, try to link up back with that with his college quarterback.
What you think, try to see what something you think there. It might unlock?
Whatever was going on in Alabama.
Well, there was that. I just did that off the top of my head. I think 8 receivers are having a better camp than him. The 3 starters, Noah Brown, Skoranek, Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods, and Steven Sims as a returner / receiver. That's 8 dudes.
It's easy to get there, ain't it?
That's 8 dudes.
It's easy to get there.
I remember in Kansas City, they were like, the Denver Broncos really wanted Alex Smith. And the Chiefs at this point knew who Patrick Mahomes was.
Yeah.
They're like, no, don't trade him to Denver. I said, if Denver's offering a second round pick, if y'all don't trade Alex Smith's ass to Denver, I don't care if you got to play him twice. It's Alex.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, it ain't paid many.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of trading. Trade him.
The second round pick is juicy, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, so it, yeah, whatever the best deal is, I don't give a rip.
I know you guys are going to talk about this, but just real quick, Clint. Davis Mills, you think his agent is asking for a trade?
This is interesting. I didn't want to talk to him right off the top.
I mean, Davis Mills walked off the field today.
Yeah, well, he didn't practice. He didn't get a rep yesterday.
Yeah.
Or today.
Yeah. Two days Sunday. In a row. Now, somebody said Sunday he was in sweats. He didn't suit out.
He was in
pads and had his helmet and just didn't get reps yesterday. Just didn't. Literally, Case Keenum
took the 2s. He just got to do his job. He's got to make some calls. Say, hey, can you do this?
I would, if his agent ain't doing his job, if he ain't flipping them stones, you're talking about a guy that's in position to, especially for a team that's losing quarterbacks and needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, he should be calling.
Yeah. All right.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.